What a song. I get goosebumps listening to that song. If only I could let it play out. But yeah, we just had a Seb online, and we were talking about evolution and mythology and the kind of driving forces and the influences that today's society is having on us biologically, spiritually, psychologically, and, you know, what it means and where we can go. So the break interrupted you, Seb. So if you just want to finish kind of what you were saying and see if we can continue.
Yeah, sure. Are we sort of under the control of environmental forces, or, you know, is there another aspect to us? And perhaps through conversations like this and through this kind of consciousness, the way we communicate, is that a doorway to a different kind of way of conceiving, you know, the world, language, manhood, and our relationship? Because obviously, without the other half, without the feminine aspect, we're nothing. We're, you know, it's not going to work, is it? So,
no.
You know, that's kind of, I'm throwing that in. Before I go, whenever that is, I'd just like to throw a couple of points in, but I'm just letting you know in advance. So, yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're 100% right. And what you, what the listeners and yourself will about me personally is I never really disagree with someone's point of view, you could say, to an extent, because there are actually a lot of valid, there's a lot of valid validity in what they say. And with regards to what's happening to men, it's a multi-pronged, multifaceted, and you can't do without the feminine. It's completely impossible to do without the feminine aspect in yourself. You know, like you can see, you find men who are very aggressive and very to kind of reject the emotional side of them. It catches up. We're a creature that needs balance. We strive for equilibrium, and if we don't get it, it will manifest in our lives in conscious and unconscious ways. And even with, you could say, the attack on us from the chemical side of things, it shows up. You know, you give form already to the problems that are arising that you need to solve. And I think Jordan Peterson has become pretty famous in that kind of sphere of, you could say, masculinity. And I had a chance to see him when he was here in Ireland just 2 weeks ago. But he says himself that, you know, you need to have a balance, but you will literally walk around with that which you're lacking. And for men, let's say, let's take what you're saying about the psychological and evolutionary side of things. And regards to evolution, if we're driven, and I'm a bit skeptical on the whole evolutionary process anyway. For those who don't know, just as a side topic, and I usually do this a little jump off rants, but Charles Darwin was not the first person to so-called figure out evolution. There was a lot of sayings that he actually stole that paper from someone else. I think his name was Wallace. Can't really fully remember. But again, like this process of, it's, I guess, forced evolution, you could say. Whatever you think, no matter what you study, we're being led down some sort of path. And for each individual, that path or the symptom is very different, but it's all the same. And I think trying to pinpoint each avenue can lead you down a rabbit hole, and I see this a lot within the truth community.
I see. I mean, there's a couple of characters within the truth community. Some come across very sort of male aggressive, and it's interesting what comes of their sort of their.
Sorry to interrupt, but it's Russell Alfred Russell you. Wallace. Sorry to interrupt you, Seb, but Alfred Russell Wallace was the guy, supposedly that Charles Darwin stole half his work from. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure I corrected myself.
Apparently,
sorry,
a lot of his book was written from those scribblings from that gentleman, I think. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to. I mean, it's very significant that you are Irish, from my point of view, from my uneducated, distant point of view here, because I've always, my experience with Irish people to a point, Irish males, and just observing things in general. It's been very different to my experience with if you like, Caucasian males of other from other groups in general. That's a general experience for me. And
what would that be? That's a curiosity, because I think there's a lot of truth to be said in kind of cultural dispositions. I think there's a lot of truth in stereotypes. So what would that be for you when you meet a, what's the difference just from your perspective?
Well,
I'm interested.
It's a generality. I remember when I was at college, this is a totally different thing. This is solid stereotype. I remember meeting this young, well, we were both young, he was a nice chap, but he made friends with me because we were, you know, just milling around, and he said, "I'm Irish. I drink a lot, and I've got a bad temper." Really, really amusing. But having said that, I don't know why that you know, he sort of presented himself that way. I have no idea. But I mean, obviously, there's many years since then, and my experiences have been that I find the Irish vernacular, what you're saying as a nation in general, well, perhaps in specific. For example, the fact that you've taken on the BDS movement to support Palestine, I think that's absolutely stunning. It says a lot for your people. Well, your people, my people, I think we're the same in the sense, in essence. But anyway, if you're just talking about recent sort of genealogy, if you like. But, I've found Irish people generally to be more personable, more open, a little bit more feminine, which I found in a healthy way, not trying to prove them how to too much.
I'm gonna jump in there because I actually think, and I think my friend here, Ferdia, told this to me, so I'm going to say it now because he can correct me instantly. The word Banantí, is a Gaelic word which means head of the house, but it's a feminine
woman
word.
Woman of the house, yeah, woman of the house.
But it means a woman of the house, and. Ireland is
matriarchal.
It's a very matriarchal kind of society. We have a lot of famous female warrioresses and queens, and you take into account with the occupation from, you could say, Britain. Let's talk about the good old past. But Irish people, we've had the kind of. I've read in a great Thomas Sowell, I think he's a famous. African American economist. He had a great breakdown of Irish people and the suffering, the plight of Irish people, and their cultural mannerisms and how it's kind of even brought up today of our cynical way of being and our kind of very use of fluttery language and our ways to kind of beat around the bush and dance around the issue. Mm-hmm. We're very, very. We're geniuses of disguising our real feelings, So
geniuses of saying everything and not saying nothing.
Yeah.
I wanted to, because it's on the tip of my tongue.
And I think this is very true for everyone. You said you didn't feel English growing up. My Ferdy here can testament. I never felt Irish growing up. I was very, very disconnected from Irish society. I never really played sport. I was a bit of a loner. I was a bit of an introvert. I never, even with Gaelic language, which is taught terribly here in school, I actually failed it in school. So, I never really resonated with Ireland as a whole.
Wow.
But that's not until I became, I guess you could say, a bit individual. It kind of drove me to be more individual. And from there, I was able to appreciate myself, the society and the culture I was born into. How lucky I am to be born in Ireland at this time and not 100 years ago. And, what's interesting, and I'm going to bring up this point because it covers a lot of bases as regards to the Palestine and Israel thing. And I'd say it as an Irish person because Ireland does have a lot of affinity towards Palestine and what you could say is the occupation of Palestine. And I used to be very, very pro-Palestine for as long as I can remember. And I have so many reasons to be pro-Palestine. And then I read a book recently, The Bible and the Sword, which Barbara something, she escapes my name. Her name escapes me, but she's a very brilliant historian. And out of all the things you can say bad about people, this anti-Semitic rhetoric, and a lot of it is rhetoric because you know, you can't really be anti-Semitic because most of the people there are not Semitic at all, or of Caesarian stock, if you're familiar with that whole aspect. The 13 Tribes is a great book, and I'd recommend that. But the whole Palestine-Israel thing, it's so touchy, but I, as an Irishman, I understand why Palestine is fighting for their independence, just like Northern Ireland, Ireland was, and the Catholics up there were very, very recently, and Ireland's yep. plight in general. But then you have to understand at the same time, and this is maybe a pro and a con to Israel, is it's actually a westernized society with keeping bay a society that it's not really fully integratable with our own Western ideals. So you'll know from me, I don't fully take sides because I try to see a pro in everything, and there's many cons in what's happening right there in that conflict. And I thought I brought it up because I don't really hear anyone talk that way about it. People either bash Palestine because they're pro-Israel, or they're bash Israel because they're pro-Palestine. And as a typical Irishman, I'm in the middle of it all with pros and cons to it. But, you know, you're very right. And I know we're getting very off topic here. But Seb, I just kind of want to reaffirm that even myself, I never felt Irish. And I'm sure there's Americans growing up who never really felt American until maybe they got into the troop movement to kind of reinvigorate themselves as an individual. And then how lucky you are to be built. Let's be honest, me and you, Seb, that Americans are very, very lucky to be in the society they're in right now. Because it's kind of beyond anything that I think the Ireland and especially the UK has been able to develop on its own. They got free from, you know, an overlord or a king, or that same attitude wasn't there. And I think you can agree with me, Seb, that if you said you were going to start a new business venture, people over on this side of the pond would probably say, don't bother doing that, you'll fail. While I always find Americans are a bit more positive, and they'll probably say something like, think of me on when you're at the top. So yeah, I thought I'd interject there on that one.
Well, America is a very interesting subject to me. I've spent a bit of time there, made friends there, travelled there, went to Native American places of worship there, because I'm very interested in the struggle of, if you like, what I call the stargazing cultures. And I regard, you know, my, if you like, root culture as part of that. And I regard the Western civilization as a latecomer to the concept of civilization. That's not being rude. I've studied history enough to have a basic grasp on this matter. And I often hear, again, it's obviously far from the sort of things you'd say, I'm sure, but I do hear, you know, people like Kelso and what have you make some claims about Western so-called civilization. It's just, it just blows my mind. The ignorance is mind-blowing. But anyway, that's not the subject matter.
You know, look, I agree with you 100%. Like, even with, you could say, the Native Americans, one thing a lot of people don't know is when Ireland was going through the famine, the one country or people that donated the most money to the cause of the Irish famine was Native Americans. When they were going when they were going through one of the worst times for them as a people during the 1800s, they actually donated the most money to Ireland. So the cause, it's suffering brings people together, and a shared suffering brings people together. And, you know, on the topic of, let's say, masculinity, and I'll try and bring this back to kind of where I wanted to go. But you know what? You're so right. Things are meant to get so tangented. We're not meant to go on a single course of conversation. But what's interesting is, in today's world, and let's be realistic, it's never been safer. Men don't need to defend anything. We don't need to have collusion or a sense of purpose with other men to help. You know, they found out when Germany was bombing England during the Blitz. The Germans were so surprised because it actually brought together England more. If they didn't bomb England, they could have had a better chance against the war, but it actually brought people together more, because a shared suffering is what keeps people closer knit, the closer ties. And I think, and I suppose that you know, that's why I'm doing this for men. We have a shared suffering regardless of our past. We know there's something wrong deeply, and we all have very different answers and very different perspectives. And and the thing about me, and I hope you guys find this, is I welcome every single one of them. You never really fully get me disagreeing with someone unless someone tries to turn something personal. Because it's so...
Darren, but is that a feminine trait? Or is it an Irish trait? Or is it an individual trait?
Oh, it's a...
Well, you're not standing with one position because you don't want to confront, or... why don't you take a position?
Well, I do. Okay, me doing this show for men, and I'm glad you're being a bit of a devil's advocate there. Typical. I was going to go say typical Englishman there, but stirring up trouble. But
no,
you're right. You're right. But I think this right now, there's never been more disconnect and fighting and infighting. And I do take a stand on where some of my values do lie, but my perspectives can lie anywhere because I'm completely open to someone else's perspective. So, you know, I grew up being very, I guess you could say, a very a feminine qualities, very emotionally in tune. I try to really be in touch with it. But, you know, there's a million ways to shear a sheep. And I think, you know, there's some truth in everything. And that's, I think, for me, where I stand. And I will be happy to, you know, and the thing is, like, you're saying, maybe you're right. Maybe I don't really have a standing. Sometimes I don't, because as an Irishman, you could say, there's a lot, and I know a lot of them who are so anti-British, it's ridiculous. But here's the funny juxtaposition that they're in. They're supporting English football teams. They're, you know, speaking the Queen's language. They're enjoying the roads that probably the Queen and England built. So we live in sometimes our personalities can live in a contradiction. And I suppose as an Irish man, I do like to be a bit cynical and laugh about them, because if I can point out the funniness in them, I think we can all learn. So I know we're getting off topic here. Do you have any other specific question? And again, guys, please, all across the world, wherever you are, call in. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know if you agree with me. If you have anything at all you want to add, I want to hear from you. This is what I'm doing it for. It's not for me. I can talk to myself all day. I'd rather hear from you. And I'll be very honest. Before, you know, after the very first break today, Ferdy, who was standing beside me, he goes, "I just want to hear what other people want to hear from us." That's all he said to me, and it's all right. I want to hear what you want to hear. That's really it. And if we can have a bit of banter, as to say, a bit of joke, a bit of laugh, a bit of truth, a bit of insight, then that's literally all I want. So, any other questions, Seb, or any final thoughts, and any suggestions
to
for the future?
Very brief, because I know there's probably other people waiting. There's a book that might be of interest to you. I think it was by Young's star pupil called Esther Harding, and it's called Women's Mysteries. It's not actually about women in itself. It's very much about us, and it goes back thousands of years. I think it changed my life because I began to understand the polarity and the dynamics between women in spiritual, practical, all sorts of different ways. So I highly recommend that book, Women's Mysteries by Esther Harding.
Esther Harding. We can get that put in the notes for the show. And what a great cue.
Okay, maybe I should go, because give somebody else a chance and call in another time, you think?
Oh, it's okay. As an Englishman, I'm sure you're used to taking up all the time. And I'm only teasing you. Seb, thanks very much for the call. I hope to hear you soon.
Take
thanks
care.
Again for that recommendation. And hope we get that put for the show. I hear the music coming in, so we'll see you guys on the other side. Please call in, let me know. Good to hear you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Turn it on! I want my bailout money. Keep the bills coming. Sweet green cash just dripping like honey. I'm a new kind of thug with the Washington buzz. Cause dealing debt pays better than dealing drugs. What do you think will happen when they double the money supply? A falling dollar makes it harder for you to survive. And take those billions and trillions and give it to their own kind. Hope you don't mind being wild blind. How do you think we got runaway credit? Ain't nothing going down unless the crooks...
And we're back, guys. I want to thank all the listeners for giving me an opportunity here. And again, on the RBN Network, please support them. Hopefully we can see where this show goes. It's good to be here with everyone. My guest for you, and just for those who don't know, this is we're actually live from Ireland. He was listening to some of the ads on the RBN Network, and he said it's very American. And he said it with a lot of affinity. And I have so much affinity and respect for America. I absolutely love America. I really do. As an Irishman, you know, to be able to drive more than 3 hours and not hit the end of the coast is a dream. I've had a chance to live in America, and I was actually in the RBN Network studio down in Texas. And I resonate a lot with Americans, and... Seriously, you guys, you know, I'm so sick of people on this side of the pond, and especially in Europe. I don't really class Ireland as Europe because we're an island. Just giving America such a bad rap, but, you know, they're basically the pillar of Western society to some extent. Regardless of what bad can happen, there's always good, and I think what's good is really good, and it's helped us to this very day. So I thought it was kind of funny. And like true Irish tradition, me and my guest Ferdia are sharing a beer. And I hope that's okay. We're doing a Guinness. It's past 8 o'clock over here in Ireland. We're sharing a Guinness, or as we say, a pint of the black stuff, in true Irish fashion. to kind of commemorate this show. So Ferdy on the break was talking about we should probably get into masculine traits and what we should do as men to hopefully become better men in general, so we can become better examples for ourselves, our society, our children, our partners, and the rest of the world. So you were saying, Ferdy, just before the break.
Yeah, kind of just saying how to step into one's own masculinity, what values you take on yourself and how to live through that. A good tester that I always say with Darren here is if you have a group of men, say, will the real men please stand up, and the boys can remain seated. And if the men get an emotional ping or anger or like, oh, I don't like not being called a real man, they probably should remain seated. Do you know what I mean?
So me and Ferdy would have been members of, you know, a lot of men's groups and men's circles. And, you know, we're just trying to find our way to navigate through this world, you know. And me and Ferdy had very, very disconnected relationships with our father. And, you know, we really looked to our father as a kid to help us grow up in the world, you know, like. The funny thing is I had the whole conversation about girls with my mother. You know, I remember she drove out one day, pulled up the car and told me what I should and shouldn't be doing. And that was from my mother. And yes, my mother's a woman, but, you know, my stepfather at the time, he never really gave me his perspective on his side of the things. And your father, actually, Ferdy, I don't mind me disclosing this, but your father was a psychologist.
Yeah, no, he was a psychiatrist, but I had a good, great relationship with my father. And then, like a lot of families, the marriage broke down. And then I didn't get to spend an adequate amount of time really with my father, and had a lot of sort of mixed messages from both parents, you know. That's just unfortunately what happens in a marriage breakdown. They both did their best. So I always felt connected, but I just didn't get to really hang out with him as much. You know, I didn't get to come home, and then my dad's there helped me with my homework or any of that. Just gone. Well, you know?
What's funny is Ferdy is a fighter. He's a pure Irish fighter. He's done fighting across Thailand, and fighting for me is something I never did, and it's actually really unhealthy fighting. Just health. Just such thing as healthy aggression and healthy fighting. You know, I think every man should get into a fight when he's a kid and stand up for himself, because I think it really, really affects you down the line psychologically, where you avoid conflict. And I think conflict is such a powerful force to confront, you know. And even for me, it still affects me to this day. But for you, Ferdy, it's well integrated in yourself. And I'm sure men listening, if they have kids or if the you know, to know of young kids, you know, young men getting into fights now in a day, it's so frowned upon. And yes, of course, the aggressive aspect and being hurt is something to be frowned upon in some aspects, but to actually channel one's aggression in a healthy form to establish boundaries and your individual self, that you stand up as an individual to something, whether it's your, you know, fighting a bully, or you're sometimes fighting a war. You know, for me, like, we all have ancestors who's listening to this, who has literally laid down their lives fighting someone who was literally opposed to them as an individual. And I hear the music coming in. Guys, I'd love for you to guys call in. We got another half an hour. Ready to hear your perspective. I want to hear some men, some women as well. Let me know what's going on. Let me know your thoughts and what you think the state of masculinity is today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health.
Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smothered, enough to reap the corn and leaf where I was born, got a stout black sword to banish ghosts and goblins, a brand new pair of brogues to rot the love of the bogs and frighten all the dogs on the rocky road. It's a double of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt to hair and turn her down the rocky road, and all the ways to double and
gather. A good old Irish drinking song. And to touch on what Seb was saying about femininity, music is a very feminine thing, I think. And us Irish people, and I think people across the world, we love our music and we love to express ourselves, which is a very feminine aspect. And during the break, me and my guest Ferdia were talking about qualities of what people think is a mature masculine male. What do you think a mature male is? And a question I have for the listeners, and again, please call in. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is, you know, for me, it's, what was your relationship like with your father? What was it like? You know, did you guys, was it a healthy one? Did you guys, you know, did you have fun? Did you do sports together? Was he encouraging, or was it the opposite? Maybe he wasn't even there. Maybe he wasn't around. Maybe he was very disconnected. Maybe he was very cold with you. What was your relationship with your father? Because it's that relationship that can dictate, you know, where in life you go and what things will trigger you and upset you and carry on into your relationship. And then obviously what you will then end up projecting down to your own children, if you have them or if you're going to have some. And, you know, we were talking about traits of a mature masculine just during the break there, and what do you think are traits of a mature man? What do you think when I say what is a mature man, what are some of the traits and qualities and values that jump out at you? Maybe it's something, you know, maybe it's a guy you've seen in a famous film, or someone you really looked up to. It could have been a family member, someone that you really admired, you know, as a man, or someone that really kind of inspired you as a kid to, you know, kind of feel who you were and kind of grow into someone a bit more better and mature in yourself. Maybe it's from the Bible. Maybe it's, you know, the story of Jesus as well. Like he was a very mature masculine male with faults, which is human, you know. So you were saying, Ferdia?
Yeah, of course, on the topic of Jesus, he was kind of the all-together man, combining all king, warrior, magician, lover energies together. He was a sort of an idol that we could look up to and want to be and want to be like. If you remember in the temple, he lost his head and started smashing things up because they were selling. They had a market running in the temple. So he obviously had strong boundaries. He's obviously had emotion in him, you know.
And he challenged his aggression.
He challenged his aggression, know?
And I think what you can see from a lot of Christian thought is to be very peaceful. And, you know, sometimes that's not always the case. You know, we need aggression to defend ourselves, and we need to dare to preserve who we are as an individual, as a society, as a family, as a state, and then as a nationhood.
We needed to stand up for ourselves. Also, though, it can be, there's a shadow aspect to it. If you have too much aggression, you can use it to bully others.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of fear around that. And I think a lot of the time, if people show aggression, people automatically go to, oh, he's bullying, or he's aggressive, or he's pushing people around. And that doesn't always have to be the case. So I think there's a bit of an aggression phobia in the 21st century.
Yeah, and we were touching at the start of the show today when the likes of MMA and a lot of these things in the culture that actually honors aggression in a weird way is becoming more popular, because we actually kind of now lack it, or a sense of output in ourselves, you know. And so we were talking about some, I guess you could say, qualities of a mature male, you know. And I think, you know, having a balanced perspective, you know, I think for me, when I think of a mature male, just some people in history and in fiction and in film and in my family who kind of resonate with me, one of them would be I was always a massive Indiana Jones fan. And I've always loved the character of Indiana Jones, a trailblazer, an adventurer, you know, of course with his faults, but at the same time, in, you could say, a Jungian perspective, if he was a very magician person, he was a teacher of history, and he was also a warrior. And for those familiar with the warrior's journey, we'll get into it, is a kind of the journey a hero goes on. Just think of all the stories that Star Wars is based on, Matrix is based on, and a lot of the Disney films follow the same kind of
hero's journey.
It's called A Hero's Journey, and I'd 100% recommend the book A Hero's Journey by
Malcolm, is it something over there?
It's not Carol Jung. It can't come to me right now.
The Hero with a Thousand Faces.
The Hero with a Thousand Faces. Not Carl Rogers. He was another famous guy. We can't think of it right now.
For me, what it is integrity. So I do what I say. I say what I do. And therefore, I'm...
It's Joseph Campbell. And I want to thank Dan, for the producer, for that. We're drinking one too many cans right now of Guinness. Maybe that's affecting our cognitive ability to think. And completely we're buying into the stereotype of the drunken Irishman. But I might as well start off the show. Why not just jump in there with that, really? I mean, live up to the pride.
Yeah, we'll start it with a fist fight next week. My life with jokes. But for me, a mature masculine man is integrity. I say what I do. I do what I say. And therefore, I'm trustworthy. Now, I don't see myself as a fully mature masculine man, but I'm on the way there. And for me, my word is my bond. What about you, Darren? What do you think is the number one thing for mature masculinity for yourself?
You know, I think, you know, your commitment to someone else, your word is your bond. And it's a very nearly medieval concept. You know, you can see it in for Game of Thrones, which is based on historical events that happened between Ireland and England. Actually, the map of Game of Thrones is, if you actually look at the map, it's England and then an inverted Ireland on the bottom. So he took the map, the author of Game of Thrones, and he basically inverted the two countries and put them together, because a lot of that was, you know, and the Great Wall in Game of Thrones is based on Hydra's Wall.
In Scotland?
In Scotland. Wow. Based on Hydra's Wall in Scotland. So he took all these concepts, and they're full of mythology and full of aspects that we resonate with. And you could take, for those who are not familiar with the show, you could take Jon Snow, who's your typical hero. He's your typical hero. And his father, who was murdered, he was a man of his word. You know, Ned Stark was a man of his word. Ferdy right now is pretty amazed that I told him about this map thing about Game of Thrones. But yeah, it's pretty Ireland. And
it's pretty blatant.
It's pretty blatant now that you can see it. Interestingly enough, all the north sections of Game of Thrones is actually filmed right here in Ireland. Mm. And we still have that here in the culture, a lot of shared, the kind of warrior heroes mentality. But let's take Jon Snow. He's a man who followed his father's example, which is powerful if you think about it. His father was a man of his word and died for it. And Jon Snow followed the same thing in this fictional world and also died for it, but was resurrected. And that's your resurrection myth as well, which is also true in most cultures. So, a mature masculine to me is a man who kind of keeps his word. You know, you don't really trust someone who doesn't keep their word. And I think it's very, very important to keep your word. So, guys, please call in. I'd love to know your thoughts, especially the brethrens from England. We just had a caller from England, which is pretty cool. And America, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. We're looking in at you, but you're looking in at us. So if you want to call in, it's 800-313-9443. We say our trees differently. We say tree, 33 and a third is a very Irish thing to say. So again, the number is 800-313-9443. I'm sure a lot of you guys are getting the giggles out of me saying tree. Please call in. Let me know your thoughts. I want to hear from you. Again, I'd love to hear from people all across the pond. It's the perspectives that matter, but it's our shared suffering that can bring us together. So let me know your thoughts on what's going on in the world today. Masculinity, the decline of masculinity, you could say, and, you know, what's your general thoughts on things? This is a very open discussion, holistic, and we can also look at what's kind of happening in the world. And, you know, while we're waiting for someone to call in, I want to talk to you guys about, for me, what's going on in the world today. I have to admit, I'm going to admit this, I was pretty pro-Trump, you know, and I kind of knew he would win before it all happened, because people were so fed up to some extent of this wishy-washiness of politicians and not saying what to feel and feeling what they said, that someone like Trump come by would completely really move the political landscape. And I was very, very in tune to what was happening over there. Do I agree with everything he does? No. Do I like him as a, you know, is he unpredictable? Completely. But that's the thing. I liked him because he kind of just said what he says what he feels. He doesn't really filter things, and we kind of respect that in some aspect. For me, he kind of reminds me of Walter White from Breaking Bad. And I don't know why he's that example, but he, you know,
he's like the dumb brother or something.
Maybe
the dumb brother Walter White, the genius.
He's kind of like you know, for me, he's a bit of a man's man. You know, he's done a lot that we can admire, and. He, you know, he built a very successful business. He's a very successful family. And he's kind of reached a pinnacle by becoming president of the United States through his own pocket, which is kind of fascinating to think about it. And it's interesting that the one person he was pitted against, Hillary Clinton, which should be in jail, you know, just from what she did back in the early 90s. Let's be honest. She should be in jail. You know, if he was pitted up against Bernie Sanders, it would have been a tough battle, you know, this socialism, you know, socialism versus capitalism. And I think what's great about America, it's always trumped, literally trumped, being capitalistic, like, you know, going for yourself and carving your own journey out and being able to fail. And that's what America's done better than anyone else. It's allowed people to fail, okay? over here in Ireland and in England as well, we have a bigger socialized system, which is great, okay? You know, it helps people fall into nets, but mentally and psychologically wise, it's not always good. Failure weeds out somewhat the weak, or it helps people to see their faults. If you can't fail, how can you ever learn? And I think America, for me, has proven that. I'm going to touch on something now. It's probably a bit controversial, but when I go to America, I'm looking through my perspective as an Irish person. And it has many problems, don't get me wrong, like any society. But I find that people over there hustle more. You know, you guys hustle more for things because there's more of a risk of failure. There's more of a risk of losing your job and, you know, not making your way. In Ireland and England, we've a kind of stronger welfare system. And that's great, okay, for the people who fall off the map and need help. But it also breeds, comfort. And it's easy for people to fall into comfort and to not get out of it because it's so easy. So I think America is still headstrong in allowing the individual to fail and also allowing the individual to succeed. There's no other country right now, I don't think, that does that. So I've always been envious of America. You guys have more opportunity.
In that, though, there is the fact that the American colleges are so expensive and it is hard to get out of the low poverty line. There's truth in everything, and there's untruth as well. So I think that's also important to say. But interesting enough, Darren was talking about welfare systems. In ancient Rome, they used to give out bread and what was it? Water? Was it bread and bread and wine?
Bread and wine. Which they actually called the dole. They used to dole out the bread in ancient Rome. The word dole is actually what we refer to social welfare over here still in the United Kingdom and Ireland. We still use the word dole. If someone says, I'm on social welfare, they'll usually say, I'm on the dole. Because in ancient Rome, they used to dole out the bread. And I think with ancient societies as well, and again, we're going to get very tangented in these conversations, but in ancient societies as well, a lot of people hold ancient societies up with reverence, you know, that they had these hidden truths and hidden mysteries. And they did, but they were for a very select few people. You know, the military class, the priest class, and the noble class were the only ones who could read and write, and the average everybody was mostly illiterate and believed what they were told. You know, ancient Egypt was one of the most socialized societies out there, you know? And I think we have to forget about a past that never was as well. And Ireland does the same. We look into Ireland, the Irish past, as this, you know, great nation that fought our way up. But we have a lot to owe to England as well, even though they were our repressor.
Well, there's also a lot of darkness, of course, and there's truth and in truth in everything.
Yeah.
And I think if you look back with rose-tinted, sunglasses, you're kind of kidding yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, women have suffered a hell of a lot in the last 200 years, as have lower-class men, you know?
Yeah, you know? Even more, I think.
It wasn't easy for men in poverty.
You know, it wasn't easy for men in poverty, and usually they were the ones out doing the really bad, grueling tasks. Like, what people don't realise about the wage gap, one aspect of the wage gap is men take the most risky jobs, which tend to pay the most because there's a higher rate of debt. When I was in New Orleans this year, I had an opportunity to speak to a guy who works in the oil industry, and he cleans the drills. You know, he cleans these very deep chasms that he used to go into. It's very dangerous, and people can, you know, lose limbs. And, you know, he's a male, and mostly males take these very dangerous jobs because they're trying to provide for their family. And this obviously skews the wage gap because they're higher paid jobs. But, you know, I would not blame a woman for not wanting to take these jobs.
Like, well, I wouldn't blame anyone. And I think it's important. Of course, everyone should have a choice to do whatever they want to do with their individual lives. But I also think it's kind of dangerous if you don't look at these important statistics and facts. Because then it disempowers people.
There's the famous adage of there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. And I think in this world, that's skewed very left more and more so. It's been moving towards a communistic feel. I think we can feel it everywhere we move, that we're this whole equality thing is really starting to show its ugly head, and it's a quality of outcome. You know, we're trying to force the same outcome, which is devastating. And anyone who knows our history and anyone who reads, you know, especially what happened in the Soviet Union when they tried to force this equality outcome, you know, they murdered millions and millions and millions of people, far beyond what the Jews did. Sorry, not the Jews, the Nazis German, did, the Germans.
Did to the Jews.
So yeah, guys, please call in. The number is 800-313-9443. I want to hear your thoughts. We got another 10 minutes left. And yeah, thanks for being part of the show. Be to the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
He'd invite the neighbours out with this chorus.
Come on, chick-a-lick and tans, come out and fight me like a man. Show your wife how you won medals down in Flanders. Tell her how the IRA made you run like hell away from the green and lovely lanes of Kilishandra.
And we're back. Chick-a-lick and tans, come fight me like a man. For those who don't know, the Black and Tans was the term they used for ex-World War I British soldiers who were sent to Ireland to quell a lot of resistance. And I know I'm touching on a bit of a morbid note, but I remember my great auntie told me a story about her father recently, why he was a pioneer. And a pioneer in Ireland means someone who doesn't drink, which is kind of funny that we called him a pioneer. But it's someone who doesn't drink alcohol. And I asked her why he was a pioneer, and she told me this very, very interesting story. And it just shows you how it's not that far back when, you know, your society was, you know, individuals were under repression. And my great-grandfather was a young lad, and was, they lived near the canal in the same town that I'm still from. And he was sent by his mother down to the local bar to pick up, to make sure that his father, who was a bit of a drunkard, didn't fall into the canal on the way home. And in Ireland, there was a curfew from the British around that time, I think around 1911. And if the British ex-soldiers, the Black and Tans, found you outside after curfew, you would probably get a roughened up with the old butt of the rifle. So this young lad waiting outside the bar obviously didn't look too good, and a young lad waiting outside the bar after curfew looked even worse. So when the British soldiers would find my great-grandfather, they would roughen him up with the rifle. So he just grew up with a complete despisal of alcohol. So that's why he turned out to like... I know it's a bit of a tangential story, but to do with that song. So
actually, interesting enough, in my heritage, I never told you this, but during the burning of Cork, a British soldier came into my grandfather's house when my grandfather was one in a cradle, a little baby, and he came in with a grenade in his hand. And he seen one of my great-great uncles or something who served in the British Army for money, and he was hanging on the wall, and he decided not to burn the house or throw off the grenade because he said, oh, they must be a unionist family or whatever it's called. It must be a loyalist, you know, loyal to the Queen family. And he left.
Yeah.
But that's my little grandfather and the baby as a baby in the cradle.
And, you know, it's not that far removed. That's the thing. I think each generation grows up luckier than the last to some extent. And it's, I think, up to in each individual to continue that. So I know we're running out of time very soon. I don't know if there's any callers weighing in. The number is 800-313-9443. Please call in. Let me know what you think of the new show. And hopefully we can keep this going. Again, this show is about us men, our journey, our life, where we're going to go. How do we better improve ourselves and our community? And, you know, how do we grow as men? How do we find ourselves a place in this world, a purpose, and something that's very, very lacking and very, very ripe in the conversation? Healthy and maturely in this world. So here comes the music, guys. I want to thank you very much for tuning into the show. I want to thank Dan, the producers, RBN, everyone for giving me this opportunity. Please support the broadcast and the network, and I'll see you guys very, very soon. I'm going to let this music play out. And again, I'm Darren Jonathan, and thanks for tuning in.
Man make them happy, 'cause man make them toys, and out the man make everything, everything he can. You know that man makes money.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.